10 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, you're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Monday. And in studio is Bob Kaler from the New Sentinel. We also have Tom Hay and Andy Downs sticking around for this last portion of the program. And joining us by phone now, we have Sarah Bird Sharps. Sarah, can you hear us?
Sure, I can hear you fine.
Thank you very much for being with us today, and we're talking to you just before you're going to be in Fort Wayne. That's coming up on Wednesday, August 29th. You'll be giving a talk called "Our Economy: A Public Presentation and Discussion of a Human Measure of Our Economy." And you're part of a Measure of America. Can you tell us a little bit about what that project is all about?
Sure. Measure of America is a part of the Social Science Research Council, and we're a nonpartisan project that tries to talk about things beyond just GDP and money metrics. And we've come up with a measure that's based on a measure that's being used internationally called the Human Development Index. That's really about trying to move beyond only looking at, you know, GDP and money metrics to understand how people are doing. So in brief, it has three major parts. It's how long we're living. The second thing is how much education we have. And the third, which is also, of course, very important, is how much the typical worker is earning. And we put those together and we get one number from 0 to 10. And that helps us to compare sort of Indiana to neighboring states, congressional districts to other congressional districts. We also do it by race and ethnicity and by gender as well.
That seems like such a broad study. It seems like it'd be difficult to gather that kind of data and get it together in one place, in a way that's in a expedient manner.
Well, the good news is that a lot of these data are being collected, and they're in data sets put out by the Census Bureau, the CDC, by FBI on crime statistics, et cetera. So a lot of it's available, but it's available sometimes in a way that's really inaccessible. So what we try to do is to make these really important data about people's everyday lives more accessible. And in fact, on our website, we have a cool map tool where you can go and you can look at sort of your congressional district. In some states, we even went down to Census Bureau and compare it to others, and that's at measureofamerica.org.
And can you tell us a little bit about, why do this this type of measure in the first place? Because, so often that's what we do is we measure economies, we measure personal wealth, we measure businesses by, how much we take in and how much we spend. Why add this additional element?
The additional element is because by tending to focus, to over-rely on these economic metrics, we miss really big differences in people's lives, and therefore we get the wrong signals in terms of what policies are important. We don't necessarily focus in the right, geographic area or on the right racial or ethnic group when we want to make a difference. When we want to expand opportunity for people, we need to have a better measure than only money metrics of which groups are falling behind, which groups are surging ahead, and most importantly, why.
Andy Downs.
And whenever you try to gather data like this, it's hard to find uniform measures, and so that constricts what you're able to do. What would you include if you could include just about anything?
Well, I think the important thing to know is that the Human Development Index is just the beginning of a conversation. It includes the basics. Are you living long? Do you have an education? And are you earning a wage that enables you to have sort of a stable, livelihood? But in addition to that, we look at a whole other range of metrics. And I would say that, coming from an international context, the U.S. is a pretty data-rich country, but we don't use it enough. There are certainly indicators that we wish we could get, and in fact, one of the indicators that we wish desperately that we could get, but that we end up having to calculate ourselves, is life expectancy. And you would wonder, why is the CDC not providing life expectancy? Well, there's not enough demand for those kind of indicators. So we get raw death data from the CDC, and out of that, we're able to calculate. Now, the CDC does calculate life expectancy for the country as a whole, which is about 78 and a half years, but they don't calculate life expectancy by state, by race and ethnicity within states, or by congressional district. And the shocking thing is that, and I can just give you sort of the Mount Everest of this, is that the typical Asian American in New Jersey outlives the typical Native American in South Dakota by 26 years, a quarter of a century.
Oh, my.
And that's that's sort of the biggest gap. But, you know, just within congressional districts, there's a congressional district in Virginia where people are outliving a congressional district in, you know, neighboring West Virginia by a decade. So we have huge gaps in this country on all of these indicators.
We know that when you visit on Wednesday, you'll be chatting a bit about how we stand here. Can you give us any previews of where we stand in Northeast Indiana?
Sure. I think the thing that has struck me the most, I've just been doing some preliminary analysis over the past couple of weeks, is that Indiana is really backsliding and sort of at risk of losing its edge and falling behind really in those precise areas that Indiana really needs to compete in the 21st century. So, for example, what I found was that in terms of the proportion of the population in the state as a whole that has at least a bachelor's degree, it went down through the period of the recession, whereas, you know, a lot of states have certainly backslid in some areas, but mostly not in terms of this critical, you know, credential that people need, you know, to be competitive in the 21st century. So
this is Andy Downs again. How do you encourage communities to make use of this data after they have found it?
I think that, we work with communities across the country. Most recently, we did a report for Marin County in California, which many people see as an incredibly affluent county, but which has pockets where there are tremendous poverty and tremendous challenges. And I think we work with them to target the areas where, for instance, foundations, the private sector, are going to, you know, intensify their efforts. And one of the things we talk about a lot is a better match between industry and the jobs that, you know, that schools are preparing kids for, and sort of a better match between the job market and education. But there's a whole range of issues that we work with groups on, depending on, you know, what really comes out as the most pressing challenge for well-being in that place.
We have a question from Tom Hay.
Yes, I've used the HDI in classes before, looking at different countries, but I haven't seen it used internally to compare different parts of a country. What does the use of the HDI tell you about how much inequality there is in the United States between different parts of it? And can you compare that to somewhere else in any way that tells us about the level of inequality we have here and how important that is as a public policy issue?
Sure. And just to tell your listeners, so the Human Development Index was developed about 20 years ago. It's based on Harvard professor and Nobel laureate Amartya Sen's fantastic work on capabilities. And it's pretty well known in just about every country in the world except for the U.S. It's kind of the gold standard.